And I guess in order to try to answer that question, you have to say, well, what is success? If I ask you today, what is success? What is success in our world? If you went out on the streets and asked that of people just up and down the street, the answer would likely revolve around personal wealth. The person who has the most amount of money is the successful person. But we live in a world where we don't get to carry our bank account around and show people the balance. So what do instead? We buy status symbols so that when people see us driving a certain car or wearing certain clothing or giving a certain address, they know that we're people who are, quote, successful. We say that oftentimes with what we possess. Now, we can think of people who are great people who are very wealthy. We can think of people who are despicable people who are wealthy. And so we get to that place, where we'd like to define success differently. Maybe pursuit of knowledge. And we live in a society that does value knowledge. And knowledge is important, and it's critically important. And we celebrate people who are very, very knowledgeable, very, very educated people. Others reach out to family relationships and say, these are the things that are important. These are the things that really mean a person is successful or not. Some would say, well, it's all about personal development. And others would say, no, it's about spiritual growth and what you attain spiritually. And the reason I mention all those is because in the background, if you go through that little process in your mind, you'll hear Satan whisper, you can have them all. You can have every one of them. And he wants us to believe that that's actually true. You can have wealth. You can have great family relationships. You can have all the knowledge and education. You can have the great personal development. You can be a wonderful spiritual person. You can do all of these things. And yet those of us who've been on the road a while understand that there are going to be times when those things are going to conflict. And you have to choose some or one over the other. Let's go back to the kings. I'd like for us to take just a minute to look at the king Hezekiah. And we'll start in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. Now, keep those numbers in mind, because they're going to be significant as we move along. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father, David, had done. Is David his father? No, David is his ancestor. And sometimes that comes up as an issue as people are critical of things in the Bible and say, well, the Bible says that so-and-so's father was a certain person when he wasn't. It's very clear that he wasn't. He's talking about his ancestor, not his direct father. It says he removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified cities, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. Now, that's a pretty nice description. It almost sounds like an obituary. And if so, that's a very positive obituary to have, one that he could have been very, very proud of. If you look at, that's from 2 Kings chapter 18. If you look in the book of Chronicles, you'll also see that he purified the temple, and he tried to renew the Passover. And yet, as we look at this guy, the best of the kings of Judah, is he a success? The passage says he was successful. Is that the same thing? We want to be a success. We want to be successful. And I think maybe there may be some differentiation there. There may be times when we are successful, and that may be what we need to accept and be happy with. Hezekiah is also known not only in the Bible, he's known from history. There are actual archaeological findings that reference Hezekiah. If you read Hebrew, then you'll be able to see that. It says, belonging to Hezekiah, Ahaz, king of Judah. There are other references to Hezekiah. And if you look at Hezekiah's period, right before they go off into Babylonian captivity, this is the time when history catches up. And we do have a really good interaction between Bible and history at this particular point in time. If you look at Hezekiah, though, before you want to classify him perhaps as a total and complete success, you have to think, well, does he rule during the golden era of Judah? Well, no. In fact, he lives in the last gasp days of this nation. His leadership, and I'm not trying to be negative about him here, I'm just pointing out the fact that his leadership, as strong and as good as it is, isn't significant to turn his nation around. His spiritual concerns, his spiritual renewal that he tries to lead in, it's not significant enough to change what's going on in his nation. And personally, I would believe that God sent a great leader to them, and yet they weren't willing to accept the leadership that he provided. He's confused by God's plan for his early death. Remember those numbers we talked about? 25 and 29 would mean that he died at age 54. Now, probably there are a few of us here today who are past that. I want to ask you to hold up your hands. I know that you probably wouldn't want to do that, but do you consider the 54 to be a ripe old age? Well, no, not many people do. But if you look at his story more carefully, 15 years before that, God came to him and said, basically, get your house in order. Your life is over. He was 39. Now, 39 is not the age when we start to think, yeah, my life is full, my life is complete, it's time for my life to be ended or over or done. And God gave him an additional 15 years. I don't know all of what that was about. My suspicion is that he was being taken early to avoid the negative that was coming. But that's not the way he saw it. He saw it with a totally different point of view. When God finally does give him some extra years, he's like, hooray, you know, your family's going off into captivity, but you're not. And he's like, that's okay, as long as it doesn't happen before my time. And we do know that he gets a little bit arrogant and creates an enormous problem for these people. He shows the Babylonians all of the treasures of the kingdom, the treasures of the temple. Not knowing that not long after, the Babylonians are going to come back and get that stuff. It's not a very good idea. When Hezekiah is king, Assyria comes, as you probably know, to carry them away. Assyria is Nineveh, a massive army that's just licking up everything in its path. They've already carried off the people of Israel about a century earlier. Their leader is Sennacherib. And Sennacherib is also known to history, and he communicates with Judah in a threatening way. He, through a letter and through his messengers, makes it very clear that this huge march that's proceeding toward Jerusalem is going to culminate with the destruction of that city. And Sennacherib does a lot of talking, but he says something in particular that's going to be an issue. In 2 Kings chapter 18, the last part of verse 32, he says, do not listen to Hezekiah. For he is misleading you when he says, the Lord will deliver us. Sennacherib goes on in this letter to say, think of all the nations and all the gods and all the people that I've overcome. Have any of them been able to stop me? So when your king says, have faith in our God, don't listen. And as you read that, you know, as a believer, you go, uh-oh, he pushed it too far. He went just a little bit too far. He's got an army of about 200,000 men sweeping down on the city of Jerusalem. And he says, God's not going to be able to help you. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 40, starting in verse 14 and going through verse 16, after Hezekiah receives the letter from Sennacherib, it says, Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. Now, if you want to call this guy a success as a king, certainly there's grounds to do that. If you want to focus on some of his weaknesses, Scripture provides those for us as well. But here's a man at the critical moment in his life. He can't see, he can't imagine where the power he would need to be successful could possibly come from, except from the hand of God. And he just lays it out there. Says, God, it's up to you. Sennacherib is making fun. I believe there's something different. And I believe the God that has served us and led us, the God that we have tried to support, the God that we've tried to be a part of. And even though there are multitudes of people in his nation at that particular point in time who are not serving God diligently, Sennacherib says, you can do this. Will you do this? And so at the critical moment of life, he relies not on his armies, he relies not on his advisors. He becomes this spiritual man of prayer. And if there's anything that we're looking for so that we too can be successful, it's that exact same choice that he makes. In this moment of crisis, he takes it to God, not as a last resort, but as first choice. We face trials and difficulties. And really, that's what defines us in our lives. It's not those good days, it's those challenging days. And are we prepared to take it to the Lord in prayer, as the old song says? Whatever you're facing right now, whatever the direction is for the future, your first and best choice always is prayer. Well, what happens to Sennacherib? If you know the story, you know what happens. We find it described for us in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 25 and 26. It says, that night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. And there's also historical evidence for that as well. The Assyrians, of course, did not talk about their defeats, as great powers don't in their history. But there is a significant gap at this particular point in time. And we do know that Sennacherib goes home and appears to stay there and not venture out again. Isn't it interesting that there are no men involved in this battle? Is it possible that there's no Gideon? Is it possible that there's not a 300? Is it possible that there's nobody who would have had the faith to go out there and fight? And God says, well, I still have the power. and I will take care of this. In the end, it doesn't matter what Hezekiah got right and what he got wrong. What matters is that he was faithful. There's an old king who was pretty successful. His name was Solomon. He had it all and he frittered it away. And what was his conclusion? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last part of verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew chapter 6, verse 36. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I've mentioned many times, there are a couple of books in my life that have been really, really dramatic and have changed my perspective. And this particular book called Who Switched the Price Tag? It's a book by Tony Campolo. And it really is an excellent and outstanding book. And the reason that it's so good is because it just makes so much sense. Somebody out there switched the price tags. Somebody said, oh, this is what success is. This is what greatness is. This is what you have in order to be somebody who's anybody in the world. And instead of it being about the real things of life, switched it over to the material things. And as I mentioned earlier, Satan's done a wonderful job of selling that story to us, and we bought it over and over and over again to our destruction. God bless us and others who say, Lord, I'm going to bring this to you, and I'm going to let you solve this because I believe in your power, and I have the faith to give it to you. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we thank you for the way you move in our lives. Father, we pray that as we look at our lives, that we might really focus on the things that are important, that we might really value the true issues in life. And when we do that, we might understand.